Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
Welcome to Cowboy Church. We are so glad that you are here.
We really are. And Susie, I always have these questions I pose to you.
Yeah, I know.
And you know,
Nervous.
You know the culture we were raised in. Mm-hmm. My dad, one of the favorite things we used to do, he'd take us to the coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And we'd hear all the stories of the communities and everything. And guess what was always
the stories first of the community? Wait a minute. The gossip of the community?
Well, some.
Kind of. Okay.
Men don't gossip. We just tell stories. And the difference is stories are actually better than the real occasion or real event. So
right.
It's about how you mm-hmm. tell the story. See? And but the first thing that we always talk about is what?
The opening subject is the weather.
Why is it
hot today. Oh, man, it's cold today. Oh, it's dry.
Yeah.
Have you ever had so much rain?
Yeah.
Always.
Always.
And you know, we're never, ever okay with the way it is today. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Now, I was raised a little different. My dad was always okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of pushed that at everybody.
Right.
You know, he was...
What you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the opening... Mm-hmm. Opening mm-hmm. Why do you think it was that they always mentioned the weather?
It was a common subject.
Sure.
Everybody had to deal with it today. Everybody mm-hmm. knows about it. It's just kind of like a conversation opener.
Well, and we all had to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything we
yeah.
do is where we're from mm-hmm. is based on the weather.
That's right. Know? When we were being raised up, we knew that when you get rain, you get grass. When mm-hmm. you get grass, your cattle get fat.
Yeah.
So it was very important to me all
of
my
absolutely.
Life. We paid attention to that.
And, you know, I think the other reason, of course, I think in simplistic terms, I think the other reason is we can't figure out anything to say, and that's kind of our opening conversation till the creativity gets to rolling.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, how are you?
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
So many times we don't even wait for the answer. What's going to happen here today? We're going to have some music.
Sure.
We're going to have a sermon.
And we're not really sure mm-hmm. how it's going to turn out, mm-hmm. so... How's the weather?
That's our opening remark. We want to welcome you to Cowboy Church.
Well, I think there's been some new life brought into this church this morning. And if that's you, then you have new breath. You have new being. You have new purpose. And I want to sing this song for you. There's a new wind blowing like I've never known. I'm breathing deeper than I've ever done, and it sure feels good to finally feel the way I do. And I wanna love somebody like you. I'm letting go of all the lonely yesterdays. I've forgiven myself for the mistakes I've made. Now there's just one thing, the only thing I wanna do. It's what Jesus said when he came to earth. I wanna love somebody like you. Yeah, I wanna feel the sunshine shining down on me and you. And when you put your arms around me, let me know there's nothing in this world I can't do. I used to run in circles going nowhere fast. I'd take one step forward, end up two steps back. I couldn't walk a straight line, even if I wanted to. Sound like anybody here? I want to love somebody like you. Oh, here we go. Y'all put your hands together with me. Turn to the person next to you and say, that sounds a lot like you. Oh, yeah, y'all brightened up the room with your smile. You can keep the smiles on and tell them something every once in a while. It'd be okay with us. Yeah, I want to feel the sunshine shining down on me and you. And when you put your arms around me, you let me know there's nothing in this world I can't do. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand, but you're teaching me to be a better who I am. Don't want to take this life for granted like I used to do. No, no. I want to love somebody like you. I want to love somebody like you. I want to love somebody like you. Had quite a few things in my life that wasn't too pleasant in my life. I was in a very abusive marriage for 26 years, and some of you people may say, well, why in the world did you stay in that kind of environment? Well, if you've never been in that kind of environment, you wouldn't understand, because you're always hoping for a turnaround. You're always hoping for a new beginning, a resurrected type of a death and resurrection of a marriage that was bad and a resurrection of a marriage that is good. And so you're always hoping. It's kind of like everyday life. And I was in my office the other day right before we left to come over here, a Tuesday or Wednesday, and I had this kind of an epiphany. And, you know, I used to sing music, gospel music, and it was nothing but Jesus. When I turned my life over to the Lord, I said, I will never sing anything that doesn't just have Jesus right in the center of it. And then as my life progressed, I changed that just a little bit, because when I started singing professionally and got a recording contract out of Alabama, it was with Integrity Music, they said, what do you want your music to do? What's your goal for your music? And I said, well, all of my married life, I have listened to Paul Overstreet. And they said, yes, we love Paul. He said, I said, I want my music to do what Paul Overstreet's music does. And it encourages people in their everyday walk. And it doesn't just talk about persevere until you get to the other side. It says, here's you some tools to be able to make today. Here's you some tools to be able to make it through the next hour. Here's you some tools to take you to the next breath. And you know what? In my life, that's exactly what I needed. And God was in those songs, and God was in those songs to help me find some songs like what Paul Overstreet wrote and sang to be able to encourage people in their day-to-day life. And that's where Jesus came in. He saw people. He saw their ugliness. He saw their misgivings. He saw that they were not perfect, and yet he loved them anyway. And against all the religious rules, he wrapped his arms around them. And in the midst of the things that our country is going through, the hardships, the hard times, the tornadoes, the bombings, all the things, God works in that too, because those people in Moore, Oklahoma, after the tragedies of the May tornadoes, they're knowing their neighbors again. They're reaching out to people again. And even in the midst of a young girl being homeless and in the midst of having five siblings in that home and a mom who lost jobs consistently and put those kids wherever they could stay, that child rose to the expectation of being valedictorian of her class. Saw that on news this morning. So in the midst of all the heartache, of all the things and all the struggles that we are, God helps us to become stronger. And that's what this country is based on. So world, bring on the rain. Bring on the troubles, because we are in this world. But our God says, I have overcome the world. Another day has almost come and gone. I can't imagine what else could go wrong. Sometimes I'd like to hide away somewhere and lock the door. A single battle lost, but not the war, no. Tomorrow's another day, and I am not afraid. So bring on the rain. It's almost like the hard times circle round. Another drop, and they all start coming down. Yeah, I might feel defeated, and I might hang my head. I might be barely breathing, but I'm not dead, no. Tomorrow's another day, and I'm thirsty anyway, so bring on the rain. No, I'm not gonna let it get me down. I am not gonna cry. I'm not gonna lose any sleep tonight. Cause tomorrow's another day, and I am not afraid, so bring on the rain. Tomorrow's another day, and I'm thirsty anyway, so bring on the rain. Bring.
We're continuing our series on David, and today I just felt led to talk about David's sin, and I'm not going to tantalize you with the one with Bathsheba. I'm going to talk about the other one. And the other one was this: why was it a sin for David to count Israel? Why is that a sin? I just don't understand that, right? Why was it wrong for him just to count his people? And so I had that question too, and I've looked it up several times, and I get an answer, and then I forget, and I'll go back and look at it, and I go, it just that's one of those that just doesn't make sense to me until you get to looking at it. And so instead of me starting out with reading a scripture like I usually do and then just talking to you about it, I'm going to talk to you about it, and then we're going to finish with a scripture. Yeah, I want the last thing on your mind as we leave here to be the scripture, and because the scripture tells us how to handle all these circumstances and situations. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would help us to be better at being your people. Lord, we want to understand what sin is. We want to understand how to get victory over sin and why we as sinners are so prone to do sinful things. And God, I pray that you'd begin to help us to live in victory over sin through your son Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So why was it a sin to count Israel? And I have six reasons here, and I'm just going to go through them quickly, and we'll describe them, but I will read them to you to start with. Number one is it's a sin because even though David was king, Israel was still God's. And sometimes we in our own lives, we forget who owns us. We forget who owns all the stuff that we think we own. And this is one of the greatest messages for us to begin to reprioritize our life and run our life the way that God wants us to run our life. And the way he wants us to run our life is that it's all his. We are stewards. We're stewards of what is really his. Number two, God uses the census money to take care of the priests who had no inheritance. If you can read in Exodus, you go look some of this stuff up, that when God decided to take a census, he used that. When they came to take a census, they were to bring a redemption money and a sacrifice, and that money was to go to take care of the priests. Now, understand what happened here is the equivalent of what happens when you don't pay your tithe. When you think the money's yours and you just take it. So what the census deal is that the Levites, they didn't inherit any land. They didn't inherit any business to take care of it. So the business that the priests were involved in is the business of the church. And so when they came to take a census, they used that to support the church program. And when David took a census and he had a free census, what he was doing is interfering in God's business. Pretty simple, isn't it now? Number three, God is a God of order. David had the order mixed up. He thinks he was a king, he's in charge, he's running the ship. And the truth of the matter is God needs to let us know and inform us every once in a while that it's not us that is running the program, it's God that's running the program. And if we will understand that if we commit our lives to God, and if we allow God to run the program instead of us running the program, there's some benefits to it. And one of the first benefits that we get when our priorities are in line with God's priorities, chaos begins to dissipate. And let me give you a little stronger understanding of what that means. I promise that you will have less chaos in your life. Now, understand the caveat here. There's a little caveat. You need to understand it because it's really important. Your circumstances may not change at all. They may get more difficult. He said, well, I thought you said the chaos leaves. Well, it does, because when your steps are ordered of the Lord will help you with those circumstances to where you can handle them better, and the chaos begins to dissipate. You see the difference? He doesn't say he'll change our circumstances. What he does say is he will help us to be better managers of our life where the chaos stops with the same circumstances. That's good stuff. Great stuff. In fact, if you don't get anything else, you could go home and say, that was a great message. I just promise you, it works. Who inspired the census? This is a great question because this is one of the questions for people who believe that the Bible contradicts itself. This is a circumstance that they use to prove that the Bible contradicts themselves. And it also proves their ignorance. That was a joke. Because here's the reason why. In Samuel, I think it's 20, I wrote it down here. Hang on. Let me just give you the right chapter. It's 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles 21. They both talk about this census. And one of them says that the Lord inspired David to take a census or commanded him. And in the other one, it says that the devil or Satan inspired him to take a sentence. Now, who did it? Does it sound like a contradiction? Yes, it absolutely does. But the thing is, when you check it with the rest of Scripture, you begin to understand something. Go back to Job, to the book of Job, and before Job could ever get tested, Satan had to have God's permission. He had to have God's permission. He went to God and he says, Job serves you because you protect him. Let me at him. And so God said, you have permission. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret. The devil's not an obedient entity. All disobedience is inspired by him. When the question of whether or not the devil could interfere with Job's life was given, the reason it is given that way is the devil realizes that he has no ability to mess with God's people without God allowing it, because he's already tried it and he knows it doesn't work. So when he gets permission, God tells Satan himself, go test him. Go test him. Because God knows that Job's going to win. God knows that he's going to pass the test. God knows that you and I need for somebody to pass that test. And we'll read about it. So he gives the same opportunity to David. And David failed the test. This is the sin. He failed the test. He failed the test that is supposed to give the rest of the world an example for them to follow, to inspire them when they run into the same test, and he failed. Now, the good part about that is this. If all of God's people always passed all the tests, we would feel futile because we know that we're not going to pass all of them. So God, in his infinite wisdom, puts in the Word of God even the failures of his special people. So this is written in there so that when you fail, you can stand back up, go back to God and says, I have failed my test. I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I want to live for God. And you know, because of this story, that God has enough mercy and grace to forgive your sins and to pull you back into the loop and put your feet back on the ground, or however you want to put it, straighten your path and put you back in good standing with God. It's a great story. Who inspired the census? Well, ultimately, we don't know. We really don't. Because that's just an example of how it can work. Here's another example of how it could work. It's not just the devil and God in this battle. When we're tested, we have this part here. And it could have been, because in James it tells us that man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So we do know the enticement was there, but we don't know all the reasons it could be, because David says, well, I'm king. We beat everybody, and I want to put this on Facebook. And I want a selfie with these numbers on Facebook because we have become important. I don't know what inspired it, really, but I do know this, that God didn't like it, and that's enough. And here's the other thing we learned, that God blesses his order. God's a God of order, and God blesses his order. I would rather live in God's blessings than in his curses, right?
Well, if you enjoy Cowboy Church, I want to ask you to do something. Get your checkbook out, or go to the website and pledge to support Cowboy Church. We rely on your gifts. This doesn't come to me. It doesn't come to Russ. It comes to us making these shows weekly. We don't have big support. We don't have big sponsors. You don't see any big commercials on these shows. God has put us in a place where we rely upon the people who enjoy Cowboy Church. We love hearing from you. Thank you for your letters and thank you for your support. God bless you. And we'll see you next week on Cowboy Church.